always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. This just in, former President Bill Clinton is in the hospital in Washington. In a statement, an aide says he checked in for testing and observation after developing a fever. Luigi Mangione pleaded not guilty to New York State charges in the murder of the United Healthcare CEO. His attorney balked at what she called a spectacle of a perp walk when he arrived last week to face federal charges. A Greensboro, North Carolina police officer was shot to death while responding to a call inside a grocery store. Assistant Police Chief MJ Harris.
Together we are mourning Officer Horan, who was a husband, a father, a son, a friend, and much more to his family.
The last-minute gift shopping mayhem is in full force. At a mall in Austin, Texas, this guy's on the hunt for...
My mom, definitely like a bracelet. My dad, just any shirt, shorts he can get, any like pullovers.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. The State Building Commission denies funding for a new UW-Madison engineering building. Republican legislators on the commission blocked reallocation of $70 million for building projects on University of Wisconsin campuses. Senator Andre Jacques of DePere said they were caught off guard. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu of Oseberg wrote a letter to UW President Jay Rothman that the no votes were in response to a lack of transparency and an inability or unwillingness to answer critical questions. The Board of Regents earlier this year approved a roughly $72 million funding increase for the engineering project. The proposed funds allocation would include putting $29 million toward these costs. Governor Tony Evers said in a statement that support for UW continues to face partisan obstruction. He said the commission will vote on the proposal again in January. It's the holiday traveling season, and it's shaping up to be a record-setting year for travel. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
A record number of travelers will be on the road and in the sky through the end of the year. AAA estimates over 119 million people will be traveling, with nearly 90% of them driving. A record 7.85 million people are expected to fly before the end of the year. AAA says that following traffic laws and monitoring weather forecasts for changing road conditions will help you get to your destination safely.
The Brewers will remain in Wisconsin through 2050, thanks to a new lease agreement. The deal to stay in AmFam Field has been approved by the Southeast Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District. In a statement, Governor Tony Evers celebrated the approval, which follows his signing of bills that provided $500 million for renovations. The state, Milwaukee County, and the city of Milwaukee will contribute a combined about $435 million, with the Brewers adding $150 million over the lease term. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Packers and the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints tonight on Monday Night Football, game time 7:15. I talked to Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper over the weekend after winning his second NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
It's a big accomplishment. It's just simple. I keep saying it, but I'm just here to play football, have fun out there, and you know, do what's best for my team.
The Saints will start rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler. Has he ever played in cold weather like Green Bay before?
I haven't played a snow game, but I've played in many cold games before in the Big 12, even in the SEC. Cold, rainy, windy.
College hoops, the Badgers with a non-conference win over Detroit Mercy, 76-53. Head coach Greg Gard working with shooter John Tanjay in his technique.
You just got to keep giving him sample sizes and experience and point those things out. We need him to continue to be more efficient at a high level more consistently.
That's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, low pretty close to 20. Tomorrow, more clouds hanging around, highs upper 20s. Cloudy Christmas Day, high low 30s. A cloudy sky for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Rain possible Friday and Saturday as highs nudge to near 40. Right now it's 31.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Hope y'all are having a great Monday afternoon out there. Your host, James, here behind the mic. Solo show. That's all right. I got great tag team partners. I got all of you. You guys can call up and join us. Hit us in the numbers. We're wide open. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Thank you so much to everybody who has already downloaded the app. We greatly appreciate that. And tomorrow morning, Melissa and I on the morning show from 8 to 10 will have you, the winners, some of the winners, if not all the winners, from our Text to Win contest that we had last couple of weeks. So we had a lot of fun with that. Thank you to everybody that played along. We'll have those winners for you in the morning. It's going to be gone. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning, or this afternoon as well. I knew I was going to do it at least once. At least once. I get one mulligan. this afternoon, we're not only taking your calls, we're going to get into the Monday night game tonight. Got a couple of interesting notes that came up in the last couple of hours. We'll touch on with the game. Want to remember one of baseball's greats. We'll talk River Kings with coach and head GM, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Coach Paul Peckman going to be joining us at about 5:30. Looking forward to that. That is going to be fun. Plenty to do today. Plenty to talk about. Get into our schedule for the week here because it's a little up and down with Christmas landing right in the middle of the week. We've got all that. But I had a couple of places I wanted to start. But I have to do this. I have to piggyback off of our friend Mike Clemens and his sports note right there that he had for us at the top of the hour. Appreciate Mike and the amazing work he does. Did anybody see this story about starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, Spencer Rattler? Rattler, as Mike was mentioning, you know, has played in cold before, and they're kind of giving him a hard time about that a little bit and everything, as they would almost anybody coming in, especially as a rookie to Lambeau Field. Well, did you hear that quarterbacks coach Andrew Janocco took Rattler and the rest of the Saints quarterbacks into a walk-in freezer in the team's cafeteria this past Saturday to run through plays? And they did this. They got the idea after watching Cool Runnings, Janko joked. In the movie, somebody sits in an ice cream truck to prepare for the conditions. So that was what gave them the idea. I have no idea if it'll help at all. I don't think that there is any prepping for that kind of cold. I don't know that you could try. I don't blame you for trying. And you could be the player out there without the sleeves and that whole thing. But I don't think you could prepare for certain types of cold. It's similar to heat. You know, the heat in California, the heat in Florida, very different. The heat in Texas, very different. I don't know if you can prepare for that anymore, but I mean, you got to try too, right? I mean, it's not a horrible idea to give it a shot. See how it does, how it helps. Speaking of your Green Bay Packers, of course, playing some Monday Night Football tonight, hours from now, hours from here, in Lambeau Field. Did not hear, Luke Musgrave, who has not played since September 29th, is all go. He's got the green light. He is off into reserve. And we'll be making the start, I believe, tonight. Could be coming off the bench. Tucker Kraft has certainly played well enough to remain the starter. But Luke Musgrave, I think that you don't lose your job for getting injured. That's for one thing. And you really, you kind of have two starting tight ends in that offense. So I don't know that you really have to pick. But all the better for the Green Bay Packers getting healthier as so many teams are getting hurt and getting more and more banged up week after week. And I want to kind of go there. I want to go to you, actually. 715-424-2600. Call up and join us. I want to talk a little bit about strengths and weaknesses of the playoff teams that at least, you know, that it looks like are going to be making the playoffs for sure. Not necessarily the in-hunt teams, but focusing on Green Bay and Philly and some of these teams like that in the NFC. Also, note to everybody out there, I want to know your sports moment of the year or your favorite sports moment of the year or what you think is the sports moment of the year, all the above. 715-424-2600. Call up today or anytime to the end of the year, I'd say. Even in January, you can call up first week of January. We'll still take it. Maybe you needed time to figure it out. I've already mentioned for me, just to get the ball rolling here and everything, I think the Olympics, summer games were the moment of the year for me. That or Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame. But, you know, pick or choose.
The great article at ESPN.com right now. You get a chance to check it out. Rob Dembowski, who's covered the Packers. No, I had it right the first time, I think. He's covered the Packers. I should have his last name right. He's covered the Packers for almost as long as I've been alive, it feels like. He's been there for a long time. Does some great coverage over there. Really cool article about Tucker Kraft channeling his inner Mark Bavaro. And I got to let you guys know, growing up, Bavaro was my favorite tight end. By far and away, Mark Bavaro was my favorite tight end. Was it because his last name ends in a vowel? A little bit. I'll be honest with you. A little bit. Was it a ton of that in the NFL when I was a kid growing up? Similar to my dad falling in love with Vince Lombardi because he was Italian, to be honest, and there wasn't a lot of Italians in positions like that. So it didn't matter if, you know, Vince Lombardi was coaching the Washington Generals. He would have been a huge Lombardi fan. But for me, I was a big Bavaro guy. I loved him. He was great. I think this is kind of cool to see him mentioned because, I don't know, I think for a lot of us that grew up, we might remember Mark Bavaro, but I don't know that he's necessarily one of the all-time greats or he's remembered as one. I know he was to me, but let's find out. Let's talk to you. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Well, I guess I'll help you shave your voice a little bit.
Appreciate that. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just got to, you know, I don't know if this was talked about at all last week, and I know it's been kind of brought up the last couple weeks here, is that whole deal with Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau complaining about Favre giving, you know, Strahan that sack, and he took his sack lead. You know, records are meant to be broken, okay? And if Gastineau wasn't such a jerk, he probably would be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But, you know, now he's got a big documentary about it on Netflix, and it's like, you know, yeah, you kind of came up through the era in the NFL where you weren't getting that generational money like the players are getting now, you know, and I'm sure he's probably hurting for some cash, and, you know, he's going to do things probably to maybe generate some of that cash. But, you know, the NFL is not going to take that sack away from Brett.
Yeah.
And Strahan, I mean, Jared Allen actually had one taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has Strahan tied for the most sacks in a year.
I think
J.J. Watt even is tied.
And T.J. Watt has the record. T.J. And so the whole conversation is kind of mute, really, because he wouldn't even be his record anymore anyway. Even if he did take away one of Strahan's sacks or anything, it would be T.J.'s. I don't begrudge Mark Gastineau the person and his struggles and him trying to rebound from that, trying to come back. We are Americans. We love a comeback story. I'm certainly not. My family's filled with them. So I'm definitely not going to take any shots at that. But when it's so when something like that, all this screams to me is that we didn't take care of these guys well enough. It's just sad to me. There's nothing about it I want to watch. There's nothing about it that's interesting to me. I never thought that the story really had any meat on the bone anyway. Netflix will greenlight anything. They will literally greenlight anything. It doesn't matter how much, the story could be 2 days. I guarantee you they're working on a Luigi documentary right now. Like that's how they are. They don't care. They're just going to throw it at the wall and see what people will watch. And that's fine. You know, it works for some people and teach their own. But with something like this, I feel like it gets a little bit more, not only muddy, but it's actually similar to me in some ways to the Aaron Rodgers documentary, because you're talking about somebody more and more what we're going to have going forward, imperfect human beings with 2 hours focused on an imperfect human being, and when you come out of it, if you come out of it and you're like, well, they didn't say anything negative about this person, nobody's going to believe it, nobody's going to take it seriously, and they're going to immediately look at who was the producer and who created it, and that's almost all there is. You don't really get a true telling anymore. You don't get both sides. The documentary they did about, what's his name, the referee that was betting on basketball games.
It starts with a D. I know what you're talking about.
It was just his side. It was just Donaghy. It was just Donaghy's side. There was no even counter argument to anything. There was no. It was ridiculous. It wasn't a documentary. It was a puff piece. It was almost as if he paid Netflix. Hey, do you guys mind if I just talk about myself for 2 hours?
Right. I did get a chance to sit down and watch the Aaron Rodgers, the Enigma. Hmm. I did watch it. I kind of was regretting doing it. I mean, it was a 3-part series, an hour each. So it was 3 hours of my life that I wasted. This. I mean, granted, I didn't watch it all one time because I didn't want to do it. But I mean,
that's the way to do it.
you do kind of understand a little bit on where he comes from, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Paint him in a bigger light. I don't know if it really did paint him in a bigger light. I think people might understand maybe now more of where he comes from.
I think that I couldn't agree more, man. Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers
talks about they get into the religion end of it, why things are and kind of why he's not focused on his family with his parents and I don't think I got anything out of it that he's gonna reconcile anything his parents, but it was something that I think was kind of cool. I mean, I never had any ill will against any Aaron Rodgers anyways. I guess I kind of got tired of his, toward the end of his career with everything, it was just kind of the same way with Favre.
Yeah.
But Favre was more of a steak and potatoes guy, where Aaron Rodgers is not that way. He's more of a, maybe like a wine,
filet mignon. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something fancy.
The wine and cheese type person.
He even talked about
that in the documentary, how he was trying to fit in with Favre, and he would talk about something other than hunting and fishing, because that's what Favre was always doing with some of the guys in the team. And he'd try to find different ways to, connect with Brett.
One gigantic difference between those two, Brett Favre, you were going to take him or leave him. That is who he was. Whether it was an interview or on the field, he was always himself. And for better or worse, he was going to be himself. He was going to be Brett. Aaron, I feel like from the get-go, and not even just talking about in Green Bay, but even at Cal, wanted to fit in. Wanted people to like him, wanted to get along. And I don't know if I want to say that he tried too hard, but it feels like that. And right now, it especially feels like that. Please like me. That's the way it's coming across. That's the way it feels. And I actually think that without all of that, and putting aside talk about vaccines and all of that and everything, putting all that to the side, if it wasn't for those things, and they're big things, but if it wasn't for those things, I think he might be the most empathetic person in football. People empathize with the most. They really could. He had a chance at that even. I think he was a likable guy. I think he's doing State Farm ads, and his career still goes the way it does and everything. I think he has some part of the fan base that is still, missing him and everything. And anytime Love throws an interception, wondering what Aaron would have done. But none of that happens because of so much of the last couple of years of his Green Bay career. Again, on the field and off the field. And it turns into a guy where, for me, I see his name and I immediately groan. And that used to only happen on the football field. Now it's kind of like, oh, what is he saying now? I don't even know how much, and I don't know the guy, so I'm not at all trying to act like that, but he has no poker face, and he lays so much out there that when his name does pop up, I tune out. I tune immediately out because I already know it doesn't have to do with a highlight because he hasn't had a highlight in quite some time. I don't really care. Now, Aaron Rodgers on the field, I've said this before, I think the greatest complete quarterback I ever saw was Dan Marino. I think the greatest winner I ever saw was Joe Montana. But the most, maybe gifted quarterback I've seen is still Aaron Rodgers, and maybe the most cerebral, maybe the most the greatest at the assets of what it is to be a modern quarterback, getting out of the pocket, seeing the whole field, pinpoint precision, learning from your mistakes. I think one of the most underrated things in being a quarterback is the thing that Brett Favre was the worst at, learning from your mistakes. Brett was a gunslinger, and I loved it, and I loved watching him play, but he didn't learn from a dang thing. It didn't seem like... Whether whether it was getting Sterling Sharp banged up in the middle or it's throwing an INT with his last Packer pass. It did not seem to learn from his mistakes. Aaron Rodgers, the exact opposite, learned real early. Oh, I stay on the field if I don't turn the ball over. We win if I don't turn the ball over. And immediately you see his interceptions go down. I haven't seen, there's no player I've been more afraid of to play than Aaron Rodgers. Easily. Way ahead of Brett Favre, way ahead of Reggie White, way ahead of Jordan Love right now or anything like that. I never felt like I had a chance against Aaron Rodgers, no matter what my team looked like.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens at the end of the season. Jordan Love could be 4-0 against the Bears, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
You might have to start fearing
might
him
have
a little
to,
bit.
No,
I get what you're saying and everything with Rodgers and but boy, I mean, take some, you know, I just wish they would, you know, especially with Brett being the Packer, I just wish they would have built a little bit better. I mean, granted, I know that after this, they had a chance 2 years in a row when they lost to Denver in the Super Bowl with Brett, and they were there, they had their chances, but man, you know, 30 years of having Hall of Fame quarterback play and you only get 2 Super Bowls. I mean, that's always been kind of one of my pet peeves with the Packers, you know.
An understandable, a very, very understandable one. But let's fast forward to this current team. And one of the things that I wanted to look at before we went to break was kind of the odds and ends of what they're saying with the teams this year. Right now, the teams that look like they're going to make the playoffs in the NFL. And with the Packers got a nice percentage chance of not just winning this thing, but going to the Super Bowl. Vegas has them pretty high odds right now.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the weaknesses, because that's what we're focused on right now with Green Bay and all these teams, I think that most of these teams, it's easy to point to injuries and that being one of their biggest issues. I don't think you have that as much with Green Bay, but you do have a defense that doesn't seem to react to quick play, the 2-minute drills or the fast plays very well. Talking about that and the defensive part of things, do you feel good about that? Do you think that's their biggest weakness? Is it something else?
Well, the biggest weakness that I think you saw in the defense, he got hurt last week, and he's not going to be in probably until the playoffs, would be Walker.
Yeah.
And you're going to give Adrian Cooper a chance to play a little bit more. I just think that the defense is starting to come around. Mm-hmm. They're playing a little bit better. I mean, we'll see what happens if Jair can play this week or not. What's hurting is, I mean, obviously, is the, some of the injuries to the defensive backfield. I mean, you are hurting, they are hurting a little bit there, but I think, I mean, the defense is coming. I mean, it's looking better, but now I heard on a different talk show that there's a chance that Hasley might be in the mix and a new head coach job.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope they can pull it off and do well. I mean, tonight, I'm hoping they don't look past or not looking past this game. I mean, they're 14.5-point favorites. If I was a betting man, I probably would take New Orleans to cover because this is the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, where they come up with where that? I mean, they've had a lot of close games. I think what was it? They can easily be 9-5 or 9-6 right now.
Yep.
In the NFL. I mean, some of the games that they've lost, the close games. So, I mean, the New Orleans, they got to get past that. And then can they go into US Bank Stadium? I mean, I think between Kansas City and Minnesota, I think those two are the two teams that's got the horseshoe stuck up, you know where.
Yeah.
And the golden horseshoe, I should say. And they're finding ways to win. And, I mean, obviously, yesterday I think Seattle gave that one to them and scored way too fast and all that and didn't slow things down. But that's another thing to talk about down the road. But I think, you know, the way Minnesota's playing right now, could they be the team to beat?
I mean,
they by far have the coach of the year, I think.
Yeah, I think the job that O'Connell's done over there is pretty amazing when you also consider what he's done with Sam Darnold. Put those two things together with the wins and that resurrection project right there. Yeah, it's hard to argue that one. There's a couple of coaches I think that'll get in the running, but I think I'm with you. I could see him winning it. I think that when I'm looking at weaknesses of every team, and you see Jalen Hurts go down with a concussion, and who knows where that could lead to. Not that these guys don't bounce back right away or anything, but just you talk about the modern hamstring injury is the concussion, the injury that lingers almost all season, it feels like. They're not getting any healthier over there as far as one of your bigger competitors. I like Green Bay's weaknesses compared to other teams' weaknesses. If I got to take a weakness, I like where Green Bay is sitting. I went into this season thinking, well, this is a chance for Green Bay to play with some house money. They go in there, maybe win a playoff game or two or something like that, make a good run, similar to last year, and make sure, just like Detroit has done in recent years and other teams have done in the past, build up and get that playoff experience. And then next season, 2025, it's all Green Bay. They may do it this year. They may be a year early on this because with the way and this isn't a knock on Green Bay at all. I don't mean it that way. But they're young. They're inexperienced. That may not matter. They may be going up against other teams and other players that are just as inexperienced. And it's a war of attrition. It's who is the healthiest. And right now, it's not just that Green Bay is healthier. It's the positions that they're healthier in. Nothing against Jordan Love. Nice receivers. Two tight ends that almost anybody in the NFL would ask for. But give me Josh Jacobs every single game, and I'm good. I'm good. I almost don't care who's starting quarterback. If I got Josh Jacobs, I feel good about my chances, especially playing in December and January football.
Well, and that's why I think where Philadelphia is going to be, Jalen Hurts, you got Saquon Barkley, which he's – boy, if he keeps going, he's going to break that record. I really do. They got two more games to go. And obviously, I think, you know, they're doing a better job with these guys with a concussion. So, I don't think Hurts will play next week. I mean, but I could be wrong. But, I mean, you got Saquon Barkley. You know what's going to happen. You know, and that's, you know, and that's the same thing that's happened with Jacobs. And look at Derrick Henry, too. They all change different teams. And what are they? The top three running backs in the league.
As we get closer to the NFL draft, I want to get more into that and to see if running backs make a comeback in the first and second rounds again. You know,
if there's anybody really out there though. I mean,
well, there's a couple of backs. There's a couple of backs that Genty and Boise is going to be in the NFL draft. Cam Scadaboo, I believe, is also. There's a couple, but I don't know if they're first round picks. We got to wait until we get them to combine and all that. But it'll be interesting to see if going forward, even that running backs, even in free agency are paid a little bit better. The big thing to them is not just the dollars, but the years. And they get those guaranteed money, some of that quarterback guaranteed money, some of that. It'll be interesting to see. Interesting and always a fun conversation with you, man. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Yeah. If I don't get a chance to talk to you guys tomorrow morning, have a Merry Christmas and we'll chat later.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's to you, buddy. I appreciate you, man. Best listeners in radio. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back with the fourth period. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us right here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids.
The best part about the holidays are the cards.
Oh, joy. Another person sent me the same card. Oh, hey, honey, look, it's from your mom and dad. Isn't this a picture from our honeymoon 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it is. Look how they made it a Christmas card.
Maybe we could do that. I'm tired of having the same ones every year. And these are funny.
I'll call Phil and the team at Quality Plus Printing and have them make us something great. We can even get matching ugly sweaters.
I'll skip the sweaters. Can we use my giant bass pick?
Quality Plus Printing for all your holiday needs.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Join us on Tuesdays for Community Stories and Thursdays for Community Stories Junior, both from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WFHR. Your host, Melissa Kay, brings together folks of all ages from our community. With history from our elders to innovations from our young people, Community Stories brings in-depth local stories you won't hear anywhere else right here on WFHR. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 5 to 6.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ashley, your marketing consultant here at WFHR and WIRI, and I am here to help local businesses, big and small. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, low pretty close to 20. Tomorrow, more clouds hanging around, highs upper 20s. Cloudy Christmas Day, high low 30s. A cloudy sky for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Rain possible Friday and Saturday as highs nudge to near 40. Right now it's 31.
Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. It's time for the fourth period. Joining us right now, GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, with us right now. Coach, good to have you with us. Thanks a lot for being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Always appreciate the time with you, and we got plenty to talk about today while we got you. Do want to start kind of rewinding a little bit going to this past weekend. Nice games for the Kings, and I believe a clean sweep of Hudson. Is that right?
That's right.
Thought so. Hudson, I don't want to make light of anything with anybody putting on skates. I don't care what level they're on or anything like that. I'm never going to take anything take light of a team, players doing that or anything. But not the team that we played in years past, and they'd tell you that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you can only play the teams in front of you, and you can only the ice equalizes so much. You know this better than I do, but it doesn't almost matter every hockey game what the records are. That ice, that'll even the score of anything.
Well, I'll tell you, number one, it's during the division, so you got to play them four times, right? So you don't know, and it just all depends on, I mean, with what we went through, right, coaching changes. Yeah. And you have, they had a late coaching change in August, didn't have a time, you know, they've been struggling to get players. But I'll tell you what, I mean, if you look at the first game when we played them here and the first game we played them on Saturday, they got a goaltender that was lights out. Yeah. And one kid alone can change a game entirely, and especially a goaltender. This kid played out of his head. He was very good.
Reminds me of Dominik Hasek and that run he had or something. The thing that I keep looking at and I keep talking about with this team is that shots on goal and seeing there's a certain number I'm always looking for. And both games hitting those numbers and hitting just peppering the net.
Yeah, yeah. It's something we talk about a lot. I mean, it's just it's a law of averages. Right, and obviously, the harder you work, the more opportunities you're going to create, and that's the real. That's the only thing that we're really stressing. We know we have the firepower. Now it's just making sure that we don't let off the gas, and no matter who you're playing, it doesn't matter. I mean, everybody here, and the way that we focus our team because of the goals that we have, and right, and everything that we're trying to attain. But also more so that these guys are trying to get recruited here, right? So there's no shifts off. We're not taking any periods off or games off here now. These guys are trying to get to college. These guys are trying to get to higher level juniors. So we're going to make sure that they're given every shift good film for coaches to see and like what they see so that hopefully they get to where they want to go.
when you have a team like this in professional sports that coming off of a good year, having a strong season, we say this in every sport. We were just talking about it with the Packers this week and against the Saints, and not as good of a team. Mm-hmm. Looking ahead and that, you don't see that with the River Kings. You don't see it traditionally too much in hockey to begin with, but you definitely don't see it with these guys and at this level. Really, do you think it really stems from that? Not just the hunger to make it to the next level and make sure that there's plenty of tape out there of you, but the idea that there's always something to prove. It doesn't matter what you're coming off of from the last game or the last season.
Well, that's something that myself and Derek, our staff is constantly reminding these guys, right? When we take it in blocks, and it's usually by the month, so we went from the end of Thanksgiving break to now. So we had six games, and we had them on the board, right? And we're checking them off game by game. This is where we need to be. This is what we need to do. And then we have a board that has, it's called the Road to Nationals. And every win, we put a puck in the board. So as we go through, and that's just, you got to have motivation. You got to have something that you can physically see and says, all right, check the box. We're doing what we need to do. And that's our job, is to remind them. Listen, there's no time. You can't go out there for a Sunday stroll, right? Yeah. Take care of business, and then you got the rest of the day to do what you want.
I've heard baseball managers kind of do this similar thing before, where they break the season up. And that is that part of what it helps keeping things fresh in the locker room?
Absolutely, no question. We do it in sections, and I tell kids, even in the recruiting process, right? It's September to December, especially for first year guys. It's all about getting acclimated, right? You're in a totally new environment, new coaching staff, new teammates. You're living with new families, right? You're playing at a higher level. So by the time you get settled in, and now comes January, and that's when you really make that push for the playoffs and where we need to be, so we get home ice in the playoffs, right? So, yeah. And then it's usually your second year. The guys that come back for the second year dominate, right? Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that really with some of our 04s, their second year, like Schweitzer, Denti, Tudich, Beauchamp. Mm-hmm. You know, you got guys like that are just – really taking it to the next level, and they're also getting recruited either to go to college or high-level juniors. And that's the way the process works if you do it right.
We're speaking with GM and head coach Paul Peckman right now, playmakers. And coach, when it comes to being able to keep these guys focused and locked in like that, they do a good job themselves. I don't want to say that they don't. But at the same time, with all these different distractions and things going on, and all of that, just and still trying to build chemistry, even at this point in the season with it and everything. You mentioned the kind of breaking things in blocks and some of that. When it comes to practices, how do you keep the practices fresh? How do you keep those interesting?
Well, you come up with a game plan, and just depending really on what you did the weekend before, right? And then if things are going well, and then who do you have coming up? I like to do it structured where Mondays is usually, because we have Sundays off, it's usually flow and just let's get the legs going again, right? And then Tuesdays is what we call battle day, and it's just grinding, right? And we're beating each other up. And then Wednesdays is really just about systems and how we're going to approach the weekend. And then Thursdays is usually special teams, power play, penalty killing, certain scenarios, face-offs. And we'll go over certain things, keep it lighter, and keep everybody fresh going into the weekend. So it's that kind of structure. Guys know what's coming up. And then all the different kinds of drills that we have that we do to keep things fresh and loosen it up a little bit and keep guys on their toes.
You mentioned, I think, a key word there, structure. And how keeping things fresh with having structure is not easy to pull off. It's been working. It really is a good system. It's something that I don't know that, especially we don't talk about this enough, I think, in sports, whether we're talking about college athletes going to the pro level or guys coming out of high school or something and coming to play here in the USPHL or something. It's not just a different game and different athletes. There's more games and more athletes. There's so much more. to these things. And you can have a lot of adrenaline. It'll take you a ways. But you get to that second, third month of the season, those areas, and you're playing a lot more games than you've ever played in your life. Again, on any level, we just go out there, keep doing it. And you notice it in almost every sport when these rookies that are great, they I don't want to say they hit a wall, but you see it on them. They're like, oh, wait, we just got more games to play here.
Right. You run out of gas a little bit, yeah. Right? And it's conditioning, right? You got to get used to it, and it's just like anything else. The more you do it, the more you get acclimated to it, the better you'll be at it. I think, and that's why you got to constantly, and they're teenagers, right? These guys are 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. So you've got to stay on them and remind them why they're here and what's the purpose and what's the goal, right? So, yeah, structure is, that's something that's very important to me in our program and how we conduct ourselves. And the phone is ringing here constantly now. Players from other organizations want to be here. They see what we're doing. They know our history. I just signed a kid from Sweden who will be here January or the 29th. We have a Russian defenseman coming on the 29th from who's playing in Canada right now. And then I have another Norwegian that's interested in coming. We'll see about that. We have a lot of interest because of who we are and what we do, right? Not everybody does that. There's a lot of teams out there that just fly by the seat of their pants, and it's just, for me, there's a lot of money, a lot of time invested in from their parents in these kids, and we're not here to play around.
Yeah.
You're going to have fun, and winning's fun, but it's not easy, right? So you're going to have to dig your heels in a little bit and go to work. And at the end of the year, when you're playing for national championships, that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a good point to bring up too, the investment, the financial investment it takes. By the time we're seeing these kids, their parents, their families have put a lot into it. It is for those that don't know, it is not cheap to get into hockey. The equipment alone, one player needs a little on a goalie or anything like that, and finding practice areas, things like that. There's so much. I'm not saying that it's more than other sports, but if it was a race, I feel like hockey would win it because it takes a lot more to be able to do that, which is all the more reason why it, to me, when we do see these kids, it's that much more impressive to me. Like that they've made it this far. Whatever else happens, it's beyond impressive to me to see where they are. We are looking forward to a whole new year of hockey and River Kings hockey, and we're very spoiled here because we got a nice January, Coach. We're going to have you guys at home for a lot of January.
Yeah, that's right. We're excited about it. So. And in between that, too, is we're going up to Marshfield to do a blue-white game on the 17th.
Yeah.
In between, and obviously that community is excited about having us, and it's helping us, again, grow our base, and hopefully we get more people to the rec center and keep growing hockey up and down the river.
Yeah. The Kings will be kicking off the new year against the Steele County Blades at home at the Southwood County Rec Center. They'll be there January 3rd, January 4th, 7 o'clock puck drop. Those are the next games for your Kings. With this bit of a break here, do the players get to maybe head home for a little bit? That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Everybody, being that we were in Hudson, so a lot of guys flew out of St. Paul. After the games, so we got the week off, and everybody's coming back on Sunday, and then we hit the grind again and make a run for it. So it's a good break, good time for a break. Everybody get to enjoy family time. I'm fortunate enough, I have my two younger kids here now, so it's good for spend some time with them. My two older ones are coming in after Christmas, so it's a nice break.
Getting towards the end of the year here, it's as a sports show, we have to do a year-end wrap-up and everything. Doing that, I don't know if we'll run into each other before the next year and everything. So just want to tell you how much we appreciate what you and this team puts into this community. Certainly financially, we could talk about that endlessly and the economic impact that it has had and everything. And that is going to help any rural community, especially one like ours. But more importantly, I think anybody would agree with me on, more importantly, it is the impact that these kids and this team makes on this community when it comes to just everyday things.
You know, the winning is awesome. We love the winning. You know how I feel about the winning and what the product we're putting on the ice and how great that feels and everything. But it's the impact this team has had on this community when we're seeing them at, you know, nonprofit events, or we're seeing them step up when there's disasters hit or something like that. We are incredibly appreciative of have not only this team, but this particular team with this particular GM and coach and staff. We're fortunate. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, putting up with my questions like you do all year, and everything. Really do appreciate having Kings in town.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
We are looking forward to next year. We'll be hyping the team up. We'll be making sure that we have some home ice advantage and fill in that rec center. Thanks again for joining us, Coach. Happy Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you and yours.
Same to you.
Yeah, thanks,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back with the wrap-up playmakers coming up here in just a little bit. 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The best part about the holidays are the cards.
Oh, joy. Another person sent me the same card. Oh, hey, honey, look. It's from your mom and dad. Isn't this a picture from our honeymoon 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it is. Look how they made it a Christmas card.
Maybe we could do that. I'm tired of having the same ones every year. And these are funny.
I'll call Phil and the team at Quality Plus Printing and have them make us something great. We can even get matching ugly sweaters.
I'll skip the sweaters. Can we use my giant bass pick?
Quality Plus Printing for all your holiday needs.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bond.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33 to discuss the ranking of Christmas treats. We'll wrap up everything on our Christmas Eve show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing Holiday Edition.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, low pretty close to 20. Tomorrow, more clouds hanging around, highs upper 20s. Cloudy Christmas Day, high low 30s. A cloudy sky for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Rain possible Friday and Saturday as highs nudge to near 40. Current temp is 30.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers. Play it, Chuck.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Well,
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here at WFHR for Playmakers. We want to send a big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the hour. Big thank you to Phil and the gang over there. Head on over to A Street for all your printing needs. And a gigantic thank you to GM, head coach, your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, joining us for the fourth period. A lot of fun. Help the Kings build hockey up and down the river. Follow your boys a winner as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Great way to keep up to date on everything your Kings are doing. And of course, be listening here. We'll be covering the Kings up and down the river and making sure that we get you up to date on everything going on with the team. But I want to take your call, 715-424-2600. Feel free to hit me up. But otherwise, if you guys don't mind, I do want to take a moment here to get to our stats of the show and to take a moment to talk about, quite honestly, growing up in a lot of baseball lovers around me with my papa, my dad, and all that. And baseball was never my favorite sport, but I enjoyed it. And especially, obviously, you know, during summer, there's not as much, and you're a kid. And what do? You go out and play baseball with your friends. And I really loved watching Ken Griffey Jr., Cal Ripken Jr., big Bo Jackson fan. I like Nolan Ryan a lot. There's a lot of players, a lot of unsung players. But there was nobody for me that I enjoyed watching play baseball more than Ricky Henderson. I was never a big fan of the flamboyant guys, but the guys that could that seemed like that this is just who they were. They weren't putting on airs. They weren't trying to be something they weren't. This is just genuinely who they were. And Ricky Henderson, I think, personified that. It was that to degrees that we still haven't seen since. Reggie Jackson gets brought up a bit, and I think that's a good comp as far as talking about off the field and the kind of person they were or what have you. There's some things about Ricky that are very different than Reggie Jackson. If you didn't read his biography, you didn't know about him. Ricky Henderson was actually a kind of a humble guy. Nobody's going to believe me on that. But in person and with the fellow players, was never somebody that had to have the last piece of chicken or the biggest piece. Wasn't that kind of guy. Was adamant about not being one of those players. He actually has a pretty famous quote about not being one of those players that didn't make it to the World Series. That all of his stats didn't matter if he didn't win. I think when I think of, I'm not going to say this as the greatest baseball player of all time, but going off of the greatest baseball players that I got to see growing up and seeing pretty much their whole careers, using that as a barometer, I don't know that I saw anybody better than Ricky Henderson. Like in every facet of the game, if you're talking about not just a five tool player, but a five tool player at the bat. I can talk. You didn't know if Ricky was going to get a single on you, was going to walk, or he was going to crack a home run off your first pitch. And even once you did get him on the bases, and maybe you kept him to just a single, you knew as a pitcher what everybody knew what he was going to do, especially at a certain point late in his career where that was what he was not just known for, but what people were afraid of. Randy Johnson talks about this, maybe the most intimidating pitcher of my era, because Nolan Ryan was kind of at the tail end of my generation. Otherwise, it'd be Nolan, hands down. But Randy Johnson, probably the most intimidating. He was intimidated by Ricky Henderson. He talks about it in interviews and stuff. There's just some really interesting history and stats and stories about, I think, one of the 100 greatest players in baseball history. And I think that you can make some arguments about that, and I'll hear them. But I don't know how you can deny the guy with the most leadoff home runs of all time, a stat that I have a hard time believing is going to be touched. Unintentional walks. Henderson is the career leader in unintentional walks with 2,129. The impact he had on stealing bases, led the MLB at steals at the age of 39, was leading the league in stolen bases. He's the only player to steal 130 bases in a season. And part of the thing that I think is so remarkable about all these stats is that I have a hard time believing anybody will break them, even with the stolen base coming back a little bit.
Now, that's going to take some evolution because players have kind of gotten away from that. And now with it being brought back into the game, you're going to see more and more players having to adapt their game to that. And rookies coming into the league a little more seasoned, a little more ready for it than they were in the past. All of this, and I have not even brought up the thing he's known for in being the all-time stolen base king with 1,406, which is 467 more than his idol, Lou Brock. And he also holds a single season record, as I mentioned, back in 82. Henderson is the only only player in AL history to steal 100 bases in a season three times. Another stat that I have a hard time imagining anybody will beat. I am not going to get into too much of his fielding. This is where the greatest, you know, this is why he's not in the top 50. This is not what, you know, not a horrible fielder by any means, but I don't think Ricky was necessarily known for that, especially when he had all these other things. I don't really care for showboating. I'm not a big fan of it, honestly. I think it's one of the more annoying things in sports when a team is down by 30 points and a guy's making first down moves. But as I got older and as I take in the sport more and I see these guys, not for their uniform, but being human beings. And I think about them and everything they went through to get to that moment. Coach Paul and I were just talking about this with players, even at the USPHL level. The grind, the money, the time out of your personal life, the practices, so much to get to this point. You just did something nobody else has ever done and may ever do. If you want to pull the base out of the ground and hold it up over your head, I'm cool with that. I'm all right with it. And I honestly, I don't know how you can't be. I really can't. I don't know how you can't be cool with that, how you can't be all right with it. You may not like it, but as far as like having a real, like getting bent out of shape about it, like I remember people getting when I was a kid, that never made sense to me. None of us can relate, can understand what like to do that, to do what he just did. Or when an athlete, you know, does make a big first down, you know, forward motion or anything. I don't know their personal struggles. I don't know how hard they work to get to that moment. And it may be the last great moment they have in their career. Because none of these careers are guaranteed. As we see more and more and more and more players and more superstars going down. You never know when it's their last play. This was my argument about enjoying the Milwaukee Bucks winning the Emirates Cup. Yeah, it's not the NBA Finals Cup. Yeah, it doesn't mean that much, and a lot of people make fun of it, and it's only in its second year. How much winning do you have guaranteed? How many times are you going to see your team hold up a championship? And the Bucks already have a couple players. Dame Lillard just went on the IL. He just went on the injured reserve. So there's no guarantees that these guys are going to be healthy a week from now, let alone, you know, late in the season when they're playing in the playoffs. Take the wins where you get them. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy these victories, small or large. And I got to do this too, by the way. I'm not preaching to you guys. I got to do it myself. But I do think actually that's one way that I'm very fortunate as a sports fan. Because I have learned to take small victories. I have learned to take small wins. And I find that I enjoy sports that much more because of it, as well as my life. I enjoy a lot more when I take time to appreciate the little wins, when I, you know, give some attention to that. I think Ricky was really good at that. I think that that's a big part of where sports is going, and I hope fans are going. Yes, winning is amazing. Winning is awesome. We all want winning. Winning, winning, winning. More and more and more championships. But not everybody can win. But everybody can have, you know, small wins or minor victories or whatever you want to, whatever verbs you want to use. Before I wrap up, for those that did not hear, if you weren't listening maybe to Melissa's news break, a shout out to Mel and the nice coverage here in the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers ain't going anywhere. Brewers are going to be playing in that stadium, whatever the name of it is, till 2050. Kind of maybe the more important thing to fans, I think, about this, what it does for ticket prices. And usually when these things happen, it does keep ticket prices pretty steady for the most part.
You also don't have to worry about the off-the-field hoopla of, oh, the Brewers might move or something like that, when that was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. But these are the kind of things that, you know, media and quite frankly, people in the front offices often put out there to put pressure on cities and that. And Milwaukee Brewers going to be playing at American Family Field for the foreseeable future. And then as you look at what happens with the A's, the Athletics, and Ricky's former team, his childhood team, even though he was born in Chicago, he did grow up in the Bay Area, so I can't really claim him completely. But the A's are gone, and they ain't coming back. If you're a smaller market team, this can mean everything. Maybe not on the field, but it can have an effect on it. But it's certainly off the field has a big impact. And very noteworthy. Speaking of baseball, did you see this? Baseball has been rubbed down with the same special mud to help Major League pitchers get a good grip. And there's been a new study on it about the exact right mix of clay and sand. I want to get into that on Friday's edition of Playmakers, because we will be back Friday. Of course, no show on Wednesday. But we'll get into that. We got some other fun stuff that we'll get into on Friday's Playmakers. That's going to be a good one, I think. It'll be interesting. And plenty more. On Friday's show, not sure if we will have a co-host or not, but I know we'll have you guys. Thank you so much to all of you for calling and listening in. We really, really do appreciate you. We don't have a show without you, man. We don't. And we don't have a show without our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Big thank you to Phil and the gang over there. Looking forward to them joining us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday on Thursday in the morning show. And on Thursday, we'll have Assumption High School boys basketball at Amherst, part of the Century Classic. Mike and Seth going to have that for you. That's going to be a good game. More basketball on Friday. Be listening Thursday, everybody. 105 Assumption versus Amherst on 105.5 WIRI. Have a good night, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Bill Clinton is in the hospital in D.C. CBS's Ed O'Keefe with an update.
A spokesman says the 78-year-old former president was admitted to Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington Monday afternoon for testing and observation after developing a fever.
The attorney for Luigi Mangione is concerned about a fair trial for her client, who's accused of murdering UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
He's being prejudiced by some statements that are being made by government officials. Like every other defendant, he is entitled to a presumption of innocence.
Mangione was in a New York courthouse today where he pleaded not guilty to state charges of first-degree murder as an act of terrorism. The great holiday rush is on. Roads are jammed. Airports are packed. This woman at Logan International Airport in Boston is heading someplace warm.
I'm a full-time teacher, so I'm just trying to be on the beach and chill.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey.